Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 536. I believe I got that right. I am Jeremy. Joining me this week is Chris Calamita. What's up, man?
Just been digging ourselves out of 9 inches of snow up in your old stomping grounds.
Yeah, how'd that shit work out, huh? I saw that.
That sucks. That sucked.
Elisa's brother is moving back to New York, so he's traveling cross-country, and he actually is in – well, he was in Taylor's. I don't know where he is now. But he got stuck in a three-hour traffic jam in Nebraska, only to get to Michigan the next day, where it took him a lot longer to drive through because of all the snow you guys are having. So
yeah.
And I guess you might get some more Thursday. That's pretty cool.
I have not seen that. Not looking forward to that either.
Yeah. Well, jeez. See here, it's almost like we watch stuff, starting with old man weather talk. How fun. No, but like it was in the 60s.
More interesting
here
than Raw SmackDown talk.
No shit. So because it was like in the 60s here over the weekend, and it is now 40 or 38 degrees, and we're supposed to get down to 23 tonight.
Oh fuck!
So for the South, well, all right. When someone says the South, do you think of North Carolina? Like South Carolina, obviously, because it's in the name, and obviously.
For where I've all grown up all my life and never lived in another state, yeah, North Carolina's the South to me.
Okay, all right. All right, well, that makes sense. But because Kentucky's considered the South. All jokes aside, Kentucky's not that far down the states. So it never really made sense, but
right.
I guess they're going by Confederacy? I don't know. But anyways, that's a history lesson, everybody. Yeah, so I was telling Chris before the show started that I did not see Raw this week, but I did see the highlights. So I feel like I'm able to talk just as much as I want to about this and not be wrong in anything I say. So we'll just start with the negative. That's why we're talking about Raw right now. And it's not that Raw's bad to me. It's just that it's boring. Like,
yeah,
it's a boring show with that hideous Lana Rusev angle. Like, I don't know. Wait, first, are you enjoying the Rusev thing? I guess I shouldn't put words in your mouth, but
the last angle they did before this one with the divorce court, I thought it at least turned into a corner that could be interesting. It was finally going to start leading to more physicality between Rusev and Lashley. And then came a very long Lana promo in her Florida girl voice.
Well, all right. Everyone complains about how her accent's gone. Her accent's been gone a while.
It has.
Total Divas.
We got to Total Divas, yeah.
Yeah. So I don't really care about that anymore. It's like, whatever. It was much better when she was, but I've hated this thing since the beginning, but apparently it does really good YouTube views, so
it does huge YouTube views.
But it's like, okay, well, so do, like, I almost said the absolute wrong thing, but, you know, porn sites, if you want to look at it this way, porn sites, they get a lot of hits, too. And certain videos on porn sites get a lot of views, not because they're good, but because they're hideous. So, just because it gets a lot of views on YouTube, I know it's monetarily, it makes them a good amount of money, which is insane. But, yeah, that's it. I mean, it's doing no one any favors. Like, do you hate Bobby Lashley, or do you care any more about Bobby Lashley than you did before this?
Not really, but
yeah.
I feel like he's at least showing some kind of personality here. And he hadn't pretty much since his return.
Okay. Has Bobby Lashley ever shown personality outside of TNA?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so that's low praise. I mean, to me at least, it's low praise. I'm like, okay, cool. I mean, he gets to make out with a hot chick every week. Yeah, I would think that you'd acting or not, you'd at least be looking forward to going to work every week. But
right.
But no, I don't understand the whole thing. Like, I don't, what kind of weird thinking is this that, okay, this is really going to help both wrestlers? Because I don't remember clearly, because it was later, but did they audio sweeten it? Because the reports I heard, like, live, were that they were chanting, "Fuck you, Lana." Like, they were purposely saying vulgar stuff so that they couldn't use it. So, I mean, I know that wasn't on the show, but,
no.
You know, and then what was the other thing? This is stupid. I think that was another one. So, wait, did that show up on TV? I can't remember.
I don't think it did. Yeah. I do not recall that at all. Okay. I actually skipped through a lot of it.
Oh, okay.
I'll be honest. I skipped through a great amount of last night's show.
I got you. Okay. Well, I don't blame you. And I think that's the overall thing. Like, what interesting stuff is there on Raw? And, like, no. And it's, to me, I know everyone can say, well, you're talking about Bobby Lashley and blah, blah, blah. Well, no. That honestly doesn't count. To me, does not count at all. I mean, talking about a negative of something doesn't mean that something's positive. But outside of that, what does anyone talk about on about Raw?
That's a great question. No, I mean, there's nothing really to talk about on Raw right now. There's nothing. It's last night especially was an incredibly lifeless show.
Well, I mean, I know those the ones that the English overseas ones usually are. I mean, they haven't had a hot English crowd, like a hot show over there since, what, was it William Regal? He was the European champion, I think, over then? Yes, I'm going back that far. Because, well, Santino, was that in, that was in
that
Italy.
That was in Italy. That was Italy. Oh, no, I mean, there are definitely times when they're colder domestically that they're hotter overseas, and particularly Western Europe. But they absolutely feel the last few times they've gone, they feel like they're colder every time. There's less attendance every time. Yeah, they're not hot over there right now, definitely.
Well, I wonder how like NXT UK has maybe changed some of that perception too, because they've got like their own show. So, like, all right, we've got our own thing over here, and I know NXT UK is probably not huge over there like WWE is, but I mean, they still get good crowds at every one of the shows, the TV shows, and like the takeovers. So, someone's going, and they're actually hot for those guys and gals.
Right.
This
yeah.
is just like okay. So, well, I don't know. It's weird to talk about Raw because it's not like. It's just boring. Like, there's no life to it at all. I mean, I haven't felt the need not to watch Raw like this almost ever. And it doesn't feel like I'm missing anything. Like, do you feel any obligation? Not, well, I guess obligation, but do you feel any, like, gumption that you have to watch SmackDown live? And I know we were talking about Raw, but now I just went to SmackDown.
No, I mean, I'm usually busy on Saturday night and not Friday, so I usually do end up watching it on a Friday. Mm. But I guess, no, not really. I mean, I don't feel like watching either of these shows live. I mean, I'm definitely to a point where I can't start Raw before 9:30.
Yeah, it was always funny that Kevin used to do that. He would wait just for like the commercials to catch up, and I'm like, oh, wow. And now I totally get it. I totally get it now. But, no, it...
And now it's not just commercials. It is a good chunk of the show, so I can push that to 10 o'clock easily and still be done by 11.
Oh, for sure. No, I don't know. I don't know how you save it either. I mean, they have the NXT guys, but, I mean...
That's getting to a point of diminishing returns.
Yeah.
After that first night on SmackDown was so hot.
Yeah, because they didn't... Well, no, they had... Well, those are NXT UK guys, but they had, like, Flash Morgan Webster and Mark Andrews on just to get crushed by the Viking Raiders. I keep wanting to call them War Machines still, even though it's been a long time. Because what were they called in NXT? War Raiders?
Yeah, they were the War Raiders.
Yeah. Okay. Which, doesn't that sound... All right, when that was first announced, didn't that sound stupid? Because everyone was like, they're War Machine. Now they're War Raiders?
Right.
And now they're the Viking Raiders. And you're like, boy, I long for the days of the War Raiders. Just... Yeah, man, I don't know. Because I'm trying to think of something. SmackDown at least has The Fiend. So you're going to have at least, you know, the Firefly Funhouses. That'll be something fun. Oh, I forgot Brock Lesnar's on. I forgot all about Brock Lesnar being on Raw.
Yeah, Brock's on Raw, but of course he's not going to be there every week. And I'm feeling that, you know, Survivor Series is going to be the last time we see him till probably January anyway.
Well, that's right. He's a champion, too. That's even worse.
Yeah.
Although I will, all right. So I guess I got to backtrack a little bit. I am intrigued by the Rey Mysterio Brock Lesnar angle because, for all intents and purposes, Brock should smack the shit out of him in 13 seconds and end this thing.
Yeah, but they did do the knee thing, the knee injury. So I'm thinking he'll still be selling that in a couple of weeks, but maybe he won't. Maybe it was just a one night thing they did to give Rey Mysterio something back.
But yeah, but that's what I'm getting at is Brock's best matches have been with smaller guys. And outside of maybe Leo Rush, they don't get much smaller than Rey Mysterio. So I'm like, oh sorry, it's because Seth Rollins' matches were actually been decent until they weren't. And yeah. Then it was AJ, Daniel Bryan. I'm trying to go in order, but I'm sure I'm going to mess it up. Who else was in there?
Finn Balor at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
When he decided not to be the demon, which I still don't understand. I will never understand why.
Well, can't have the demon lose. I know. That's why.
I know that, but for kayfabe, man, kayfabe.
Yeah.
There's no reason.
Yeah. But no.
Let's see, what else? I mean, I guess Seth is a smaller guy, but I never really liked their matches very much. I thought Seth was Brock's worst matches he's had in the last couple of years.
Really?
Oh, if you compare it to the AJ, Daniel Bryan, and Finn Balor matches. Not if you throw, like, the bigger guys in there.
That's true, yeah. But no, so I'm thinking, like, and they've known each other a while. I mean, they've been in the promotion at the same time, as far as I remember. So, I don't know. When Brock wants to do something, his stuff is good.
Yeah.
When they want Brock to do something as well, I mean... He doesn't exactly control everything, but, you know, I'm sure he has a lot of say in his stuff. So, that match could actually surprise people. I don't expect Rey to win at all.
No, I don't. I definitely do not.
But at the same time, how cool would that be? Like, wait, what? It'd be shocking, and Rey's champion's not terrible with the roster they have.
Right.
I mean, no less believable than when he won it the first time. And, of course, they treated him like garbage because he lost all the time. But it would at least be something different. And then you could turn Seth heel, which is probably not a bad idea.
Oh, but Seth needs to be turned heel. He's got nothing left.
Yeah, well, the crowd's already turning on him.
Yeah, I mean, so, of course they are.
Yeah, I mean...
Who couldn't have predicted that? I mean, it's he's done a lot of it to himself, but it is still also the booking. It's probably more the booking, but still, Seth in many key moments failed to come off like a top guy, and that's more and that is on him.
So are you talking about like Twitter exchanges and that sort of stuff?
Because... Twitter stuff and just general and his general promo ability and yeah it all kind of rolls in together.
I'm going to say this, I'm being dead serious. I'm not really going to judge anybody's promos now because they aren't writing them. And I'm not an AEW mark. If you listen to the show last week, that's very clear. those guys' promos are way better.
Yeah.
And they apparently, from this is from me listening to other podcasts or wrestling audios, they don't have writers for that show. Everything that people say on that show is believable.
Yeah.
But then you got these guys coming out there having to sound like mumbled jargon from people who, honestly, probably never been in a goddamn fight in their life. So,
yeah.
What are we listening to these guys for? Like, Bray Wyatt is so weird that it works.
Yeah.
That's literally the only reason that works. He seems like a weird dude.
And Bray is one of the people they trust to do his own stuff.
Yeah. Or I still want to know who's writing I want to say segments, but you know what I mean. I mean, he can't be coming up with all that on his own. Although it sounds like he has been.
I think it's him. I believe Bruce Pritchard is very involved and has been very involved with the Firefly Funhouse stuff since he's been around. I mean that they beat around the bush on that and the podcast with Conrad. That, okay. You know, that Firefly Funhouse is Bruce's baby.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's...
Well, and Bruce was very intimately involved in the original Undertaker, Kane, so that is very much his wheelhouse, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. See, the reason I blanked out on the name I was about to say, that's why I did that, I would have thought that Jeremy Borash would have been heavily involved in that.
He might be.
Because that seems like a direct, like, not descendant, but greatly influenced by, like, the broken Matt Hardy stuff. I mean, it's so absurd. And I mean, have you seen, like, Bray in character, like, doing morning TV?
No, I haven't. I don't.
It's the funniest goddamn thing. No. He's happy-go-lucky Bray Wyatt. So they're talking about, yeah, Bray Wyatt's going to be taking on Seth Rollins in the main event. He's like, well, it's like the Fiend's going to be taking over. The Fiend's going to be taking on Seth Rollins. I just hope he doesn't hurt him. Like, he's doing that stuff. It's the funniest shit. Like, wait, what? Kind of like when the Ultimate Warrior was on Regis and Kathy Lee all those years ago. And he was in character and was like, what the fuck is he doing? But I don't know. I enjoy that stuff greatly. So, I like when you ask somebody if, hey, do you want to grab dinner on the way home? Sure, go ahead and order. Did you notice what wasn't told to me? What to order? Yeah. There it is. There we go. Okay. It's like, two times. And also, I'm going to kill my dog maybe during the show. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, you. Okay, oh, so first, my dog is 15 years old. She's part Jack Russell, part Chihuahua. She was cool as shit for the longest time. Didn't show any, like, she was hyper like a Jack Russell, but she wasn't an asshole like a Chihuahua is. As she's gotten older, she freaks out about everything. And I don't mean, like, barking or violent or anything. Excuse me. Like, she touches the laptop wire, you know, the charge wire. Freaks the fuck out. I mean, jump, like, throws her head back, legs kicking all over the place. She always yanks the cord out of the wall and out of the laptop. And she damn near ripped my headset out this time. I know you can put them down, but, like, there's nothing really wrong with her. So, you know. Maybe it's an overreaction. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Bray Wyatt?
Oh, my God. I'm so distracted. Ugh. Yeah, so... Yeah, but Bray's on SmackDown. So, I don't know... Who from Raw do you want to listen to? It's just silly. So... Because, wait, Braun is on Friday Night SmackDown, too, isn't it?
Braun's on SmackDown, yep.
So is Roman, all right.
So is Roman. Daniel Bryan's on SmackDown as well, along with Sami Zayn. And the Sami Zayn Shinsuke Nakamura act, which I've liked so far. Yeah, but I mean, from a star power standpoint, when Brock goes back to Raw, it feels like SmackDown loses something. But I do still, yeah, I do feel like the overall talent is better on SmackDown.
Really? See, I've heard nothing but the opposite. That SmackDown got screwed in the draft and all this stuff.
Well, it's what you're talking about. The people that interest you are on SmackDown. I mean, Paul Heyman's trying to do this thing where he just picks up a bunch of nobodies and he makes them into something, and then they're loyal to him for the rest of their career, like Brock. And I'm, you know, oh my god, ugh.
What's up,
Humberto Carrillo? That guy just makes me want to puke.
Okay,
he's so
Jesus
cutesy, and just there's just nothing to him. And he's like, so he's got some good flying moves. It's 2019. Who doesn't? I think he sucks.
Well, he's also very young. I don't think he should be on Raw yet.
No, like, he should be.
He appeared on NXT, what, three times? And then all of a sudden he was on 205 Live? Like, wait, what?
Yeah. So,
yeah, man, it's very. That's a weird one to me. And I know Cedric Alexander's been hurt, but I'm like, you got Cedric just sitting there. Like, I know he had that brief feud with AJ Styles where he was made to look like a friggin' idiot. Just getting destroyed every week. But, you know, why not him? I don't know. I mean, I know there's, like, the marketing aspect. You know, Umberto's, you know, he's Mexican, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just...
Yeah, also their obsession with taking the masks off of Mexican wrestlers.
Well, yeah, that's true. But no one. But all right, I was. We gotta say,
he's so handsome.
Yeah, but you ask me if it this way, they don't. Excuse me, they don't like that. They don't like masks for whatever reason.
The facial expression thing, which I kind of get, but I don't know. A guy like him, it's just he'd be better off in a mask. Just make him the new Sin Cara.
Oh boy. Yeah. I was gonna say, well, how about that? But who cares?
Yeah.
It's nothing terrible. It's just like, whatever, man. I mean,
yeah. And when does this posting this emo social media post about not being able to live up to your potential, that has not worked so far. Why do people keep trying it?
Yeah. Remember Maria and Mike Kanellis?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Luke Harper didn't really work out for him.
No. The only person something like that worked out for was Sasha Banks, and she said nothing. And just let the rumors build and build and build. Or, yeah. So either do that, or just actually do something. Pull an Enzo, pull a Cass. Do something stupid, but on purpose to get yourself, to purposely get yourself fired.
Yeah. But I never really thought of it that way, because, I mean, like, most people covet their job and don't want to be fired, but these guys, I guess because they're stuck, and really, there's... You would think, well, I guess maybe not, but you would think with AEW coming on the scene, they're beating the C show for WWE. Whether it doesn't matter how much we like them, it's still the C show, you know. But
and as of this week, barely.
Yeah, and that's why I said, well, maybe, because what they've lost 600,000 viewers, AEW has.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't really like to talk to. Do too much ratings talk, because I'm not a big believer in the Nielsen ratings system. I think it's silly.
No. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out, do they still do it the same way?
Yes, they still do it the same way, yes. You have to do this entire cumbersome process of filling out paperwork, and it's a sample size of under 10,000 people representing the total population of over 100 million. Yeah, it's stupid. I don't know how in the last decade we haven't developed technology where there's just a chip in new cable boxes that just sends information data to a command center. I don't understand how why that isn't possible in this day and age.
Yeah, no, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. So I've often wondered why that's still around. Like, can't they just have can't cable? I mean, I'm not actually. It was kind of a dangerous, not dangerous, but kind of a weird thing to start. But can't you just have the cable company go, all right, we had this many people watching this station at this time. I mean, couldn't you track that stuff through your cable box?
You should be able to.
You'd think. I don't know if we want people to do that. Actually, I'm more surprised if they don't.
I don't.
Well,
I don't particularly care about stuff like that. I mean, as long as they don't literally give people my name, especially out in public. But
really,
if it's just what?
I was like, really, Chris Calamita? You don't want your name to be put out in public? I mean, come on.
I mean, if I'm watching something stupid, like wrestling.
Man, I'm past that.
I know.
Someone's like, "Are you watch wrestling?" Yep. Why? Because it's awesome. That's why. As I don't think we've said one positive word yet, but you know,
right?
No one's perfect. But no, you would just think that WWE would be going out of their way. Well, I mean, I guess maybe they are. I should back off that because we've been gotten in Twitter wars with old writers before. But you would think
I haven't. I miss those days.
But you'd think that in a day where, you know, there is competition. I mean, I'm gonna say there is, but they're saying that they're not in a war. But then, if you listen. AEW guys talk about the war now. And then WWE guys say, the Wednesday night war. And it's like, well... And then they always back off and go, well, we just want, you know, the best product, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Like, Tony Khan's straight lying, saying that they don't watch NXT when there's a picture from the production truck with NXT on. So it's like, okay, it's okay. You guys, not everyone's got to be all peachy-friendly fun, you know? So... Anyways, I'm all over the place, man. This is what happens when you don't prepare before a show.
Well, what's there to prepare? Raw and SmackDown suck this week, so let's just freeball this whole thing for next half an hour. just keep going.
Well, all right. So here's the thing. You know, I'm a big Braun Strowman fan. All right. So I'm just confused what his purpose is, and I know that they say he doesn't need the title; he's an attraction. Blah blah blah. Well. He's not treated like an attraction, though.
No, he's not.
He never wins. Who wants to see an attraction that constantly loses? Look at the Tigers. We're both from Detroit.
Yeah.
They averaged over 2 million people until Mike Ilitch goes, "Nah, we got to scale back and not pay anybody." And then what happened this year? No one went because no one wants to go watch losers.
Well, the Lions disprove that.
But there's only eight games at home.
That's the outlier. What? Go ahead.
There's only eight games at home for football.
That's true. Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's the biggest point. Yes. You are very right. Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, like the Pistons, the Red Wings, they still get a decent amount of people, but nothing like they used to. But again, just because they're terrible. So who wants to pay a lot of money for something that's not good? So to say that somebody's an attraction when he never wins, like, okay, Andre, what's the big one they always use? Andre the Giant, right?
Yeah.
How many times did Andre the Giant lose? Exactly.
Once. So, only once in the U.S. that ever went, you know, all around the world.
Yeah. So.
And otherwise, yeah.
But isn't it kind of weird? Oh,
there
sorry.
Was the one loss, and then they did. The Warrior bullshit, where Warrior beat him in 30 seconds all around the country, which was an embarrassment.
Which I actually saw some of those.
Oh boy!
Yeah, I was like, well, that's kind of weird, but yeah.
But yeah, up until 1987, unless you were at a show for a smaller promotion where Andre was doing a favor, and he lost by count out or disqualification, not even by pinfall.
Right, that was what I was gonna say. Yeah.
He may have lost in Japan a couple of times and Mexico, maybe, something like that. But other than that, no.
But also back then, no one was going to know.
No, of course not.
Yeah. And also, I mean, it's not to backtrack off what we're saying, but if Andre goes and loses by disqualification, then the next time he comes, people are going to go. I mean, it was a different business back then. But if you lose by disqualification, that next time, it's going to be packed. Because they're going to be like, he had him beat last time, or whatever. So our home guy's going to beat the hell out of him and win this time. So more people are going to go. But like, I didn't understand how they were going to have him beat Tyson Fury. And, you know,
I figured he was going to lose somehow. I mean, the count out was the best answer they could come up with. I guess I won't fault them for that, because Tyson Fury could not lose in a combat sports environment to anybody, mm-hmm. even make believe.
Yeah, because I remember the Floyd Mayweather Big Show one, and Floyd Mayweather at least was cheating. That's how he beat Big Show, which I didn't see coming. That was hilarious. But again, Big Show wasn't an attraction back then either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Big Show stopped being an attraction for them when Stone Cold Steve Austin beat him in his first match on Raw.
Yeah, what a weird...
That was a weird deal, because it was always said that Vince had said to people for years that, WCW doesn't know how to book a giant.
Yeah.
I'll show them. Yeah, okay.
Well, I think I listened to Something to Wrestle With, and they were talking about that, and even Bruce Pritchard said that was a bad idea, and that they should have saved him for like the Raw after that WrestleMania, because he debuted in February, and wasn't WrestleMania in March that year?
Yeah, he'd lost within 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, he lost that, but then didn't he also lost to Mick Foley? Didn't he?
Yeah, there was the Boiler Room Brawl. At the next paper, the Backlash paper. An underrated show, by actually. That features actually my favorite Austin Rock match. I think the Austin Rock Backlash 99 match is actually better than their WrestleMania 17 match. Don't at me.
Goddamn nerds. I'm like, I barely remember the Backlash one. You know what? I'll be honest. I didn't remember
You remember
that.
The Boiler Room Brawl, apparently, from that same show.
Well, that's only because they mentioned it. So I probably wouldn't have, but... No, all right, I'll backtrack immediately. No, I remember that. I was like, wow, he lost again, and then lost again. It's like, holy crap, man, what are they doing? But also, Big Show was a little different back then, because remember, he got real tubby after that, which I can understand.
Yeah, they were not happy with him for a long time.
But conversely, and I know you're supposed to be professional, but then at the same time, the people you're working with are supposed to be professional. I can see losing motivation because you just came to this new company, right? And you're told all this stuff, and then you're automatically jobbing out. Like, I'm the biggest guy in this league. And they got me losing already, and I just got here. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, this isn't how, like, new stars are made. Where I could have been in WCW, living pretty good, and making good money there. But I gave that up to come to where they know how to use me. So, yeah, just a little... I kind of get it, but... I mean, they're supposed to be professional, blah, 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 blah. So, whatever. Anything else from 1997 we want to talk about?
1999, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, 97, 99?
I mean, like, I guess I could circle back around to Braun Strowman... To the comparison to Braun Strowman.
Yeah. And I know he just re-signed a big deal. Okay, cool, man. I mean... I'm not begrudging the dude for making money. I mean, that's just, why would you? But he had some interview where he talked about talking. He was really upset with the way they were using him and this and this. And then he talks about how Vince told him, I'm not planning for you for right now. I'm planning for you for 5 years from now. Now, I'm sure you've heard the same thing, that Vince has some voodoo power when you go into his office.
Yeah, I've heard that, yes.
That's got to be what happened, because if you're Braun, you immediately go, what's the plan in 5 years? I get to win again? When my star power is totally diminished?
I mean, he's already had the run with Brock that where he was spanked every time. He's, you know, been beaten by... Until this year, he had only ever been pinned by Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns, you know, top guys.
Yeah.
Then they had... I think Baron Corbin got one over on him. I think Ricochet got one over on him in one of those four or five way matches, for fuck's sake.
Holy shit, I didn't know about that one. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
If it was on Raw.
Because it was like an elimination match for a title shot, and like everyone just started hitting all their finishers on him, but I think they like dogpiled him for the finish. But still, a pinfall loss in the middle of the ring on an episode of Raw for your Monster Among Men.
All right. I forgot about that. I'm kind of okay with that.
Yeah.
If you got hit with everyone's finisher and then you got pig-piled, yeah. Like, that's... That I'm willing to go with. But did he... Yeah, he beat Roman Reigns by putting him in an ambulance, right? He never pinned Roman Reigns.
Yeah, did he? He pinned him once or twice. I'm pretty sure he did.
All right. Yeah, there's that idea then. But... Because I know that was... He was still wrestling him around the time Roman wasn't losing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Go ahead.
I mean, the big thing that hurt him was they rushed a match with him and Brock too soon. He lost it in under 10 minutes. Apparently, Brock is still mad about that clothesline incident at the Royal Rumble years ago. That's been a speculation from some people.
That's crazy, because he got his revenge instantly.
Yeah.
Wait, the clothesline or the knee?
Or whatever happened in Royal Rumble 2016 where Braun accidentally hit Brock really hard and then Brock just bulldozed over him with a clothesline.
Yeah, and then I think he punched him straight in the head too.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh goddamn. It's like, dude, you came out on top of that, by the way, so
yeah, of course he did.
I wouldn't be mad anymore.
I know, and you'd think that those two redneck hunters would find some common ground, but I guess not.
Yeah, no, you're very accurate with that one. You would think they'd be like, hey, there's water on the bridge, right? Like, yep, yeah, you got your shot in. But Brock's probably like, I want to kill that motherfucker. And I know, yeah. I'm not allowed to. So maybe that's where some of that resentment is. Thinking, yeah, I could have wrecked this guy for real, but I don't see where the hell Braun goes from here.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason it looks like Daniel Bryan is getting that Survivor Series title shot, even though he did the clean job to Adam Cole a week before, because who else is there, especially to go against to be in any way credible against the movie monster heel champion. Braun can't lose again. I know we keep saying that, and then he does anyway. I assume Roman's being saved for WrestleMania. So, did you see that for the WWE house show / network special, the Starrcade at the end of November? Have you seen who's getting the title shot against Bray Wyatt on that show?
It's
in a
the
cage
Miz,
match?
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Miz. Yeah, the Miz who. Who was pwned by Shane McMahon, of all people, multiple times. That's the babyface situation on SmackDown, since they have guys that they have to save for later.
All right, here comes something unpopular. I don't hate that. Like, it's just a house show.
Right, yeah, I agree.
But, like, we the fans are making it something, or, like, it should have been something last time. So they're like, all right, fine, we'll give you something. And things happen so fast now with WWE and that. Has there been a Bray Wyatt, and I mean Bray Wyatt, not Husky Harris, and I'm not trying to be a smartass either, but is there any time those guys have fought each other?
Maybe, but I'd be hard-pressed to remember it. So I guess for the purpose of this conversation, I'll say no.
Yeah, so... I don't know. I don't hate that idea. And, you know, Miz isn't going to win, so who cares? Just
right.
Miz loses all the time and still doesn't get hurt by it, so he almost seems perfect. You know, just have Bray go over him. You get to see the Fiend. You get to see a clean finish. So, That was my idea. Well, one, I also think that the promos could be kind of funny. If they're gonna build this on TV, which I'm not sure of, but the build up for it could be kind of funny. I mean, goofy ass Miz with whatever psycho Bray, you know, I don't know. It'd be different, and that's what we kind of need too. So yeah, I'm not down on it. But then again, we're not gonna watch it live. When is it, anyways?
The 30th, I think.
Of November?
Because it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Yeah, remember, Thanksgiving's really late this year.
That's true. But it also isn't Survivor Series the week before?
Yeah, Survivor Series. Yeah, Survivor Series is Sunday the 24th. Yeah.
Okay. So 6 days later, they're gonna have another one. All right. It's too much. What wrestling shows are you watching right now?
Let's see. I'm still watching Raw and SmackDown, although with my thumb on the fast forward button. Watching AEW, NXT, and NWA Power.
Okay. That's reasonable.
ROH is dead to me.
I don't even know when it's on here.
Yeah, no, I assume it's still on at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning here. Yeah, I don't set my DVR for it. And there's multiple other ways to watch it online, I guess, but I just don't. They killed themselves at their biggest show ever. Somehow. I guess wrestling promotions have a knack for doing that. WWF at WrestleMania 17, WCW at Starrcade 97, just screwing the pooch right when you're supposed to be at your peak.
Wait. Go back up again. I was trying to follow you on that one. How did you start that again?
ROH is starting going downhill after Madison Square Garden. I think yes. no one can argue with that. But the wrestling business does seem to have a history of fucking up at their biggest event ever and directly or indirectly leading to a downturn. WCW fucked up at Starrcade 97. WWF fucked up at the end of WrestleMania 17.
Okay, so you left out the end of WrestleMania 17. I was like, wait a second, that was good.
Yeah.
So okay. That's where my mind shut down. I was like, yeah, Sting laying a giant ass egg. Okay, I get that. And also, I'm like, wait, Rock Austin was pretty goddamn. Oh yeah, okay, now I'm with you. All right.
Yeah.
Yep, that's what short circuiting sounds like.
Yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. ROH threw it all away for Enzo and Velvet Sky.
Well, I know Dalton Castle's hurt, but it's seemingly hurt and not taking time off, but that was ridiculous. What was it, him and Roosh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was, what, 10 seconds? Like, they could have had a great drag-out match there, and nothing. And then the wrong guy also won... Yeah, because that was Taven, Skrull, and Jay Lethal, right? That was that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Marty Skrull clearly should have won. That's who everyone thought it was supposed to win, and all of a sudden Matt Taven wins. You're like, I guess in the Lethal Taven program it makes sense, but the people want Marty as the champion.
And they've apparently given up on that, so good for ROH. The funny thing I'm talking about, going back to talk about Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle's hurt, whatever, stuck in a never-ending contract cycle, whatever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the boys have signed with NXT.
You're kidding me.
When did that happen?
Wow.
Like, sometime last week.
Wow. All right. Well. That was a giant mistake to break up that act anyways. Because... I loved it. We saw it live. The last time we went to an ROH show here, they've been back here twice since, and we haven't gone to either one because it's just not worth it. I don't want to see the Beer City Bruiser and that guy, whoever else his partner is. You know,
Brian Malonis.
Cool. And I just don't want to see that. Like it. It's the. This is going to sound really harsh, but I stand by this. It's the epitome of what people think wrestling is. You see this, like, two slobby-looking dudes. And he's, like, the gimmick. He's all sweaty, and he's the Beer City Bruiser. And
okay. The boys haven't signed with NXT. I was wrong about that. But they have left ROH and are just, you know, doing their own thing on the indies. Okay.
Well,
now go forward with your fat guy rant.
Yeah, well, no. not just fat guy stuff, but just in general. Like,
yeah,
that's what everyone thinks wrestling is. Like the people who don't like wrestling, they look at that and go, okay, see, that's what we're talking about. And then we're watching other stuff, going, see, this is what we're talking about. But then, Maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I don't know. But...
No, I mean, if you... Now, I know ROH had to change, you know, to make become a television product. But if you look at what ROH was when you guys were doing your WrestleMania trips back in the day and you would go to the ROH show the night before, those two guys would have been booed out of the building.
They wouldn't have had a job.
No, they wouldn't have, no.
They would have gotten their ass beat by, like, Samoa Joe or somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, see...
ROH was better when it was a DVD-only product.
Yeah. Well, it was also better before NXT came along and WWE started snapping up everybody. And, well, also before TNA as well.
Yeah, so, before TNA decided to crack the whip. Because for the longest time, you know, most of, you know, TNA's, you know, X Division and others were doing both for three or four years probably before TNA cracked down and more started trying to do more of their own house shows, which that never worked either.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you said ROH did house shows. I was like, wait, what?
TNA.
Yeah. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? When did that happen?
Everything ROH did was a house show back then.
That's very true. So, but it was but it was enjoyable.
It was. When, you know, mid-2000s, WWE was not exactly the best product in the world. And neither was TNA. I definitely got some escapism with ROH during that time period.
Yeah. Oh, I remember those shows were great, and they brought in New Japan or Dragon Gate as well. They were bringing all those guys in. So that's where we first saw Shima, if I remember right.
Right. Yes. The Dragon Gate 6, man.
Yeah, it was fun, and it just went to shit. And you can blame Jim Cornette all you want for it. Like, because I know he takes a lot of blame for, like, what happened to it. But they still had a good roster of stuff, and it was still good. It was still fun to watch. I mean, they were doing more storylines, which never happened. Like, the old ROH, I'm trying to remember what storylines they ever had.
They had plenty of storylines. I mean, I always liked the whole Jimmy Jacobs. Like, I liked a lot of the stuff like Jimmy Jacobs did with Lacey and his feud with BJ Whitmer and Colt Cabana, that kind of stuff. I mean, they did. But other than that was probably maybe most of the, like, the higher concept stuff. And everything else was just kind of rivalries for championships. And you know, good wrestling. And, you know, I guess, you know, if you count, you know, a low quality camera, you know, pointed at someone while they're standing in front of a bathroom wall, the promos weren't too bad.
Like I said, they weren't too bad. Now that they weren't, you know, they were fine. Now they weren't too
bad. They were fine, yeah.
So, you said something there. You said something there I'd never heard of, though, when you said that ROH changed their product to get on TV. I've never heard of that before.
Well, I mean, it kind of had to. I mean, it was definitely a different, you know, way of doing things. Maybe I spoke too definitively about that, but I mean, it. Well, we see what ROH is now compared to what it was.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. As it evolved into, you know, more of a television product and the DVD / you know, whatever streaming deals they had for you know. Stop being so much of a priority, and it was, you know, doing TV and pay-per-view.
Okay, no, I'm with you on that. It's almost a shame that they didn't see the streaming service stuff coming, because they were ahead. I mean, the DVD service was, what, they were usually run, what, a month behind on that?
Yeah, usually, yeah.
Which for DVD production, creation, you know, and getting it out to you, that's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, they were pretty solid with that.
Yeah, because that was... When they first started, there was no YouTube, right?
YouTube was very... Well, no, yeah, YouTube was very new, but they used YouTube. YouTube was essentially their version of TV, you know, to build up to their shows. They had the ROH... Do you remember the ROH Video Wire?
No. No, honestly, I do not.
That was essentially their YouTube channel.
Huh, all right.
Well, they would just basically do a series of skits and promos and skits that built up the next show in the next town.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then just got rid of it. But no, it's like it's a shame though that like they didn't see that. Like, and I know there was the Rob Feinstein stuff probably didn't help. And if you don't know what that is, just go look it up yourself, kids. well, unfortunate last word there, but like that took a lot of focus, and they gave it a stink too. And then I know a lot of guys didn't want to work for him anymore because of that. So, well, until he was, you know, supposedly gone, and wasn't he supposedly still working behind the scenes?
Yeah,
supposedly
that got exposed at some point. That he was still there, and that caused some trouble. You know, the TNA guys were pulled for a little while, and then when the new ownership when Gabe got Kerry Silken to, you know, own 100% of the company and put Gabe 100% in charge, then things got smoothed over and guys started coming back.
Yeah,
and this was when before ROH's peak run of quality in, you know, the mid-2000s.
Can you just imagine the shows? Or, well, I don't know. They would never be as big as WWE. Like, that's an idiot's way of looking at it. But can you imagine, though, like, how much bigger they would have been? They could have been an AEW level if they could have gotten some guy like Tony Khan or, I don't know, who was like a billionaire son back then, you know, that loved wrestling. If they could have found somebody and kept, like, Samoa Joe, CM Punk, all that stuff, Do you think they could have become that level, like selling 10,000 seats? Because they were selling like 3,000 at some point. I mean, so it's not unheard of.
Yeah, no, I mean, if that ROH had found a financial backer, gotten on TV with that roster.
Yeah,
and we're talking about Punk, Brian Danielson, Joe, all the way on down.
Yeah,
especially Punk. Punk, because Punk would have been the star above all of them, obviously, for what he was anyway.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's funny to think about stuff like that. It's funny.
It's funny that what if ECW had gotten a deal in the mid 90s to get themselves on HBO in a, you know, late night time slot. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah, just how the landscape would be different, or if, I mean, who knows if we would have had like a WWE streaming service, any of that sort of stuff. Because,
I mean, WWE went out in that direction anyway. I mean, ROH did when they were, you know, just starting with TV on HDNet when they were still, you know, they were still in a more live event DVD business up until about the earlier part of this decade, at least. They tried with, remember, they used Go Fight Live, and that had nothing but problems in the late 2000s, yeah. Early 2010s.
I was just like, my God, I haven't heard that name in a long time. So
yeah.
I was a little stunned, like, oh, anyone remembers that?
And it took them years and years to come up with their own version of a streaming service that worked.
Yeah, and now.
And that was even after they were owned by a billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah, who doesn't give a damn about them too? I mean, Sinclair's a bigger company and more profitable and richer than WWE is. And all they have to do is just throw some money behind that thing, and just not doing it. I mean, look how long it took them to upgrade lighting. It's just kind of sad. They were on a trajectory that could have been bigger, and just nothing. And now look at it. I mean, they're coming here, zero interest in going to that show. They're coming back in January. So Skrull will be gone. Who's it? Roosh is leaving, or is it Bandido?
I think it's Bandido.
Yeah, Roosh is the champion, isn't he?
Roosh is the champion.
Okay.
But they did re-sign Taven, and which whoopity-doo. But who knows? You know, it's weird. Like you got people making less a year than probably you do, and then apparently there are people there signing to high six-figure deals. It's weird.
Yeah, see, I'm not. All right, real quick, you said something. I'm not a Matt Taven hater. I don't see the appeal. Some people, I guess, do that work there, but I also don't think, like, he's also one of those guys where you shouldn't have to pay him a lot of money because who wants him? I mean, no one's beating down the door to pick up Matt Taven.
Right.
So, okay. I mean, it makes sense because he's like, I'm Ring of Honor for life or whatever.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Alicia's got home and someone's got some cold ass fingers. Holy shit. No problem. No, they're not. No, you were just outside. It's 20 degrees outside. What do you think your hands are going to be? You wearing gloves? You know, I'm doing a show right now, so as you're just pulling that thing open, and now she's in there rattling and stuff, she already yanked the cord out of the laptop. And I know I'm having a conversation off air with someone that's not talking back that you can hear, but yeah, this is the kind of shit I have to go through half the time we're doing these shows, which is why Shahid and I always do ours during the daytime when I don't have these distractions. Anyways, Ring of Honor should be much bigger than the podunk thing it is now. Like, you see those audiences, and it's like, you know, TNA gets a bad rap for the size of their audiences. Ring of Honor is not much better.
No, I mean, they're at, while being on, you know, national syndicated television, they are doing worse audiences than they were 15 years ago in many of the same markets.
Yeah. And I just, I don't see the talent to like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said talent. I don't see the wrestlers, like the names that makes you want to go, oh, I got to go to Ring of Honor and see them. Like, I like Brody King. Bandito, okay, yeah, he's pretty good. But they're not someone I'm going to, like, travel to go see because, well, who are they going to face? A bunch of people I don't care about, you know? So, just like, all right, whatever. But, and that was never the case for Ring of Honor. When they were around, there was always something. And boy, the Young Bucks kind of screw things up for them, too.
Oh, the Elite apps. I mean, the Elite screwed them over. They were stupid enough to let them, yes. But the Elite absolutely screwed them over.
Yeah, no. I mean, that's the thing. Ring of Honor allowed that.
Oh, yeah, they did. They were absolutely... Yeah.
And then they were going to re-sign. Like, what made you think they were going to re-sign with you, knowing that they... And yes, they use Ring of Honor people. But using your own people to put on a show, why the hell? And reaping all the money, if they... I don't know, if they broke even, whatever.
Now, here's something that doesn't get reported a lot, but our mutual friend Steve Williams, who went to All In and hung out with and I sat with, he made the note that they were using ROH's ring at All In.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember listening to Bubba Ray Dudley complaining about that. Or, I'm sorry, Bully Ray. Excuse me. He was complaining about that. He's like, yeah, they use Ring of Honor production, they use Ring of Honor cameras, they use Ring of Honor this. Ring of Honor got nothing out of that. I mean, they got nothing out of it. No,
they do own All In.
That's true, but okay.
There's nothing you can do with it, but they own it. Maybe one day WWE will own it. That'd be hilarious.
Actually, yeah, that would, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But if you're Tony Khan, you got to be like, all right, we need to get this. We need to get that from him, just so that doesn't happen. Because WWE, you know, if AEW's still going around, they're gonna bury that thing forever. I mean, that will never see the light of day.
When ROH is out of business in 10 years, it'll be a hit. It'll be a hidden gem on the WWE network.
Jesus. Yeah, this is how a company starts to die, by willingly allowing someone to do this. Wrestling's a goofy ass business, man.
It definitely is.
These dummies. I mean, it always cracks me up on AEW when they say, "Yeah, we're all EVPs." Okay, executive producers. And I'm sorry, executive vice presidents. Well. These guys were just, what, 4 or 5 years ago, were almost out of wrestling because they weren't making enough money. And then they just start doing some of the goofy shit, and now they're running and own, I guess owning, or does Tony Khan outright own that thing? Like, I'm trying to figure out the relationship there. Like, they're the they're vice presidents, but are they owners as well, or does Tony Khan own all of AEW?
Well, the Khan family does.
How much does Dad have that do with it, though? That's why I would say Tony. So,
yeah, his dad, I guess, is the silent investor. But the thing about silent investors is they only stay silent until they feel like they're not getting a return on their business, and then they can fuck your world up.
Yeah, yeah. But I honestly don't see that guy doing that. If long as they're making money, he ain't gonna care. Have you ever read anything about is it Sadiq Khan? No. Shad. That's Khan. It. I don't know where Sadiq came from. But that is a pretty amazing story. And now he's one of the richest guys in the US. Like, just nuts to me. But so I can see like him looking and going, yeah, this is a good investment, this isn't, and like being absolutely correct. Because you come from nothing and now you're where you are now, it's pretty crazy. But
I mean, AEW has to get themselves into a position where the ratings are strong enough that they start a bidding war amongst the networks that gets them a rights fee, not a production expenses deal. Because they can't be turning a profit on 4 pay-per-views a year and live attendance, and whatever they get from pro wrestling tees. I don't believe that. I mean, from what we've heard about what they're spending, I'm not sure I believe that they can be profitable without a major TV deal. I mean, I'm sure the Khan family is willing to take their lumps to get there, so I don't know if I foresee them anything imminently going bad with that, no. But there has to be there will be a time when, you know, it should get off the pot with that.
Yeah, you know, they're only what? They're not even 2 months old, are they? Well, I mean, I guess the TV show's only 2 months old.
No, the TV show's just a little over a month, actually, at this point.
Damn, I actually thought it'd been longer.
The first official show was in May. The announcement was in January.
Yeah, because the first episode was what, late September?
Early October. Second. October, I believe.
All right, so yeah. Wow. It certainly seems longer. I don't know why. It just does. But, like, I know I was pretty critical of the live experience, and apparently I was one of the only people, that said, like, they were, you know, that AEW was good and whatever else, or that I was saying it wasn't. And I don't know. As I listen to everybody else talking, like, all right. I've heard, read about how Dave Meltzer is just a shill for AEW. Did you hear him talking about the women's matches last week?
No, I haven't subscribed to Observer for a while.
Okay, this was they actually post stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, I listen to that I watch that every once in a while, but not recently. So fill me in, please.
He was saying he didn't understand why people were critical of the women's matches, and that the women's matches are actually better than people giving it credit for. And he said that the four-woman tag team match last week was actually very good, and he didn't understand the criticism. And I went, do you have fucking eyes? That's why. It wasn't good. I can't tell you one good AEW women's match so far until I watched the buy-in today with Britt Baker and Bea Priestley. That was good. But outside of that, and I'm not saying it's never going to get good, but to say that the women's matches have been good, you're straight lying.
And like, Dave is incredibly hard on WWE women's matches.
Uh-huh.
Very, unreasonably hard, in my opinion, from what I've seen of him over the years.
Well,
Go ahead.
He actually said that the women, the tag team match, the one where Rio lost to the I think it's supposed to be Freddie Mercury. I was calling it Sergeant Peppers. It's actually Freddie Mercury. I can't remember the lady's name. And she was the one that lost to Rio at the pay-per-view, but she beat Rio in the tag match. Well, and we can get into Rio if you want, but he was saying that match was as good as any NXT women's tag team match. And I damn near fell over in my chair, like, you've got to be kidding. And I know he's friends with all the AEW guys and all that sort of stuff. That is a ridiculous statement. And Aaliyah and who's the chick? She's the Bougie Sisters, whatever.
Vanessa Bourne.
Yes, thank you. Them versus the Iconics would be a better match than the one we saw on last Wednesday. So to say stuff like that just drives me crazy. I'm like, be honest. It's okay. It's okay to say it's not good right now. It's fine. It's not to say it's never going to get better, but to sit there and go, yeah, well, you know, it's just, you know, it is what it is. Like, what? No. And I don't know if you and Kevin have talked about this. I don't listen to every show on our platform, but AEW is suffering because TNA, Impact, excuse me. I got to stop saying TNA. But Impact and WWE as a whole has just taken all the women. I mean, even down to NXT UK. Their women's division is pretty good, too. So they got all the talent, and then AEW's left to build up what they've got. So I just thought that was incredibly stupid. I've disagreed with Dave Meltzer on stuff. And I'm saying his full name. I'm not trying to act like I'm on par with him. But I just couldn't believe it. I could not believe my ears. Like, he's literally the only person I've heard that has said AEW's women's division's good. And that the matches have been good. Nobody else has said that. But I just remember that, so I figured I'd bring it up. But how long have we been going anyways? I didn't even see. Oh, shit. Yeah. All right, a little over an hour. Did you want to talk about NWA Power before we take off?
Yeah, we can talk about that, yeah.
All right. I did not watch this week, so do not spoil anything.
I was in the middle of it. I did not get to finish it. But it follows the same format pretty much week to week.
How do you feel about the show so far? Like, from talent, to production, none of that
okay.
Stuff.
Production, atmosphere, the format of it, it's tremendous. It feels new. Well, you know, obviously it's based on the old format. It feels fresh, but I worry about when that feeling wears off, and we're just left with the talent. Yeah. I'm not a fan of a lot of the people they use on there regularly.
Well, I name names, so who are you talking about?
Ken Anderson.
Yeah.
Aaron Stevens.
Okay. Quick aside on that. What happened to him? Did WWE do such a great job of covering up what a zero he is?
I think they did.
Now listen, what's the Tropical Pirates movie? Is that what he's pushing?
Something. I mean, I think he's. I mean, he's doing this thing where he's a fake actor. He's right. He's not actually getting any work, and
yeah. But
he's threatening to quit every. He's threatening to quit every week because he doesn't. He's too good for this. But then he keeps showing up because his movie career isn't actually real.
But don't you kind of want to see this Tropical Pirates movie?
If they have the budget for it, they should probably make a short film of it.
Yes. Honestly, they really should. I think that'd be really funny.
Maybe he could be fun. Yeah. He can be funny, but once again, there's just this talent that just, you know, the business has already, and the fans have already just given up on so many of these people. And maybe it's good that they have this platform, and maybe, you know, the refreshing atmosphere and feeling that this show gives off. Maybe it won't give off. Maybe it won't wear off, and it'll just be this thing that exists in its own universe with talent that WWE and AEW just don't want. So they'll just get to be their own thing, and it's only an hour a week. Uh-huh. So none of these people, you know, wear out their welcome too much. Although I'm not a fan. I don't know who is a fan of Ken Anderson anymore. I've never really been a fan of Eli Drake. I think he's incredibly one dimensional. And the whole yeah dummy thing, you know, I was never a fan of that in Impact. James Storm is a guy who. He's the guy who's gonna toil around in Southern style indies for the rest of his career, and it's actually fine for him. He missed his shot, and TNA didn't take advantage of them of him when they should have, mm-hmm. and he, you know, for whatever reason, not mentally, physical shape, he let the moment pass him by as well. Nick Aldis is such a weird one to me.
Yes.
Like, did he offend, like, every power broker in the industry except for Billy Corgan? To the point where no one wants to do any business with him?
I would never understood what happened.
I don't understand either.
Well,
I mean, he has been on no one's radar other than the NWA.
I will say, though, that, yeah, that's true. But I will say, like, after seeing him in person, he wasn't interesting.
Like he's not.
He gives good interviews, but that's about it. It's like, okay. So there's a disconnect there. And maybe when I saw him, he just didn't care because he was wrestling one of the local PWX guys. And even it was Ethan Page? No. Ethan Chase, who was actually pretty good. And he just got beat, and he just looked at the crowd like, sorry, and just walked off. So it was almost like Aldis didn't want to do business, whatever you want to say, but it was just one-sided, and it lasted like 5 minutes. It was weird. But yeah, I don't get him at all. I do not, and I'm sure this is unpopular, I don't get the Tim Storm thing.
Oh, I do not get it at all. No, I don't understand it.
It's this bloated-looking old guy who's got, like, a muscular 50-year-old build, and he's not good in the ring. And from what I've seen, I don't get it. I do enjoy the interaction. Like, to separate that, I do like how they're trying to make a story there. Like, this guy that's, you know, your name's on the list, blah, 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 blah. Okay. But then I like the Nick Aldis thing where he's like talking to him off camera and doing this, and
I like that. So yes. Yeah, I like what they're doing from a television writing format and production standpoint. I'd love for them to do this with better talent.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know. There's good and bad. Fortunately for them, there's a lot more good. So I was just like, Eddie Kingston and Homicide? Who cares? I don't like Eddie Kingston in Evolve. I don't like him on this either. And Homicide, he just looks like, hey, do you want to come on TV? I haven't worked out in 4 or 5 years. That's fine, come on. Okay. But yeah, but no, I mean, there's that. But after that, though, I enjoy the quick format. And I guess I'm stupid. The first week... I didn't get that there were fake commercials.
I didn't totally get it either until it was Tony Fox, Waffle Iron and...
No, Tire Iron and Waffles.
Tire Iron and Waffles, that's right,
we have the
right,
best
yes.
Gluten-free organic waffles. What was it? Buy five Tire Irons, get waffles free? And I went, wait a second. But the Austin Idol Wrestling School, I'm like, that seems fair, but... Yeah, I don't know. They got me with it, but I am enjoying it. The guys seem to be having fun with it too, which I think helps. Like, they go out there having fun, like, being in front of the crowd and all this stuff. It's weird seeing these guys interact with the crowd. like if someone says the wrong thing, if they hear someone snicker or something like that, it's kind of fun. So, but we'll see. We'll see how the quality goes, because think about it, they got a taping coming up in December, I think, for the next set. So, and then, oh, speaking of Nick Aldis, what about Allison Kay? What has she done wrong? Like, does she just not want to be back in Impact? Because she's not bad.
No, she's not bad. Right now, Impact has... What is Impact? Impact just did an entire show off of Josh Matthews' phone.
Yeah. That's kind of
so,
weird.
But until Josh Matthews needed his phone back to charge it, yeah, and then the show went off the air for half an hour.
Yeah. Hey, they're making the most of a bad situation. So, but on that note, let's get the hell out of here because I got to eat dinner. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Kevin will be back probably Thursday. I don't know if you guys are going to do another one or not.
We'll have to talk about that. Yeah.
I won't be on that one. We Watch Stuff will be out later this week. Now that you can finally log into Disney Plus, fucking cocksuckers. You advertise something, and maybe I should save this, but I won't. You advertise something for weeks and weeks, and you go to sign up for it, and it tells you, well, send me an email. How about you just let me sign up so that it just works? Not knowing that's exactly what they did. So, whatever. I'm going to watch The Mandalorian later because I heard there's a big surprise at the end. So, we'll see how that goes. So, anyways, I'm Jeremy. I almost called you Shahid, by the way. I'll let Chris take us out.
All right, everybody. Rate and review us on iTunes. Those 5-star ratings would really help us out and just make us feel very good. As Jeremy said, Kevin and I might be back later this week with an AEW NXT-centric episode. That would probably go up maybe Friday morning, depending on Kevin's schedule with Opa, with Ken. If not, we will talk. Kevin and I will talk back to you next week with our SmackDown typical SmackDown Raw show. Just Jeremy said he will definitely be back. What? I'm trying here.
I know. I'm sorry. I do
there
this
will
on
definitely
purpose,
be rewatch
stuff
as Jeremy said. Yeah. And so I will talk to you again after a while later.